Mark Spector joins us. And Spec, the Battle of Alberta, although the book you wrote was about the on-ice, I guess it's the off on the field, the football version we really need to talk about. That's the pressing one with the Eskimos and the Stamps meeting in the West Final.
Yes, it is. And it's, take a little different turn. Usually we expect the Stamps to just roll, frankly, because they've been beaten up on the Eskimos, you know, pretty much for the last several years. They're the best organization in the league, and they win, win, win. But I think there's a little more intrigue perhaps this time, Rob, right? The Eskimos are 1-5 in a row and are playing really good football, and they're healthy, and they beat Calgary finally earlier this year, their last meeting. And, you know, there's a little, the Stamps have lost a couple, which is something I don't think we've been able to say for a long time. Is that fair?
Yeah, you know, perception is funny because down here, I think there's always a worry when it comes to the postseason with this team. And we do a show with Bo Levi and Mitchell, and he was on, and we talked about it yesterday, that, you know, for whatever reason here in Calgary, you know, under John Huffnagel, you go back to 2008, the regular season records are incredible, but only two Grey Cups to show for it and only three appearances. It seems a little off kilter. So you get the sense down here that there's almost at times the regular season means nothing. And there's, I would say there's almost a nervousness, optimistic, sure, but I would suggest almost a nervousness that we might have seen this movie before here in Calgary.
Well, it's, you know, it's hard to be a team when you only play one game that really matters, right? If we're going to agree that Calgary can walk through the regular season and get, you know, into the playoffs, frankly, without... You know, just because it's such a good program and Huffnagel and Dickinson and they do such a great job, then if you're telling me that, then I'm going to say really the only thing that matters is the first game in November. And that's a tough way to play football, man, to sit around for 2 weeks, watch Edmonton play Winnipeg, and then hope like heck your team's ready to go in after that bye week. So, listen, Calgary's good at this. They've been through it.
Yep.
They know what they're doing. They're a good team. I think that... You know, I haven't seen the betting line. It's got to favor Calgary. They are the champ, and the S have got to knock them out still, don't they?
They do, and I would say, you tell me, but for Edmonton coming in, two keys would be, obviously, it's a quarterback-driven league, so Mike Riley staying healthy, doing what he does, but also defensively, their front seven, their group of D linemen. Calgary's got a good group, too, and I wouldn't take anything away from them, but that's going to be a hell of a battle.
Well, for me, as I've always said this, Rob, football to me, we get down to the cliches when we get the biggest games, you know. Defense does win playoff games, right?
Yep.
And that's just a fact. We don't need to talk about, you know, you can win games in June and July just by going out and getting 40 points and allowing 30. But in November, if you get a pass rush, you have a good chance of forcing some turnovers. Whoever wins the turnover battle, there's your next football cliche, wins the football game. And I think the last football cliche that is absolutely true at this time of year is whoever has the better running game tends to win the football game. And Jerome Messam and the Stamps always held that card over pretty much everyone, in my opinion, except for maybe Richardson and Winnipeg. But, you know, when you went to war with Messam, you said, I got the best running back in this game. But all of a sudden, C.J. Gable comes along for the Eskimos. And now you can say, boy, Messam's a hell of a back, but oh boy, so is Gable. So, you know, once again, I think a betting line that might have been 7 or 8 points at one point is down to 2 or 3 now, maybe.
You know, it's crazy, Spec, because we're about to talk about hockey, and we're about to talk about a trade, and trades in hockey happen all the time, but in-season football trades were a rarity. Impactful in-season football trades were a rarity. But in the case of the running game, Calgary went out and acquired Messam a couple years in-season, and that made a difference. And Gable's an in-season trade, which really never seemed to happen in this league.
No, and, you know, give Brock Sunderland, the GM of the Eskimos, some credit here.
Yep.
I mean, they lost John White, I think, the second game of the season. He's their best back, and he's considered, if people would know all the CFL, he's considered to be one of the premier backs in the league. Lost him for the season. Went through a whole bunch of backs, kept getting hurt. And the GM kept going out and trying to find replacements, and give him credit, man. He makes a trade with Hamilton and brings this guy in.
Yep.
And he is a difference maker and a top flight back that, frankly, the Winnipeg defense just couldn't handle last week. So if the weather's snowy and if it's cold and it's the old, you know, how we've liked to play in November, it's all tough, rough, mean, grinded-out football. One team's got Messam, and I like that. The other team better have a guy that can grind it out, too. And now the Eskimos have one.
One last football question for you, and one that I'm not sure either one of us could ever ask a player, but I'm just your opinion on this. To me, Calgary's dream Grey Cup matchup would have been Ottawa to get the revenge game in their own yard, that sort of thing. Is it too much to suggest that there might be on some level a little hope that the Riders make it through and represent the East so that this team franchise can go up against Chris Jones in the Grey Cup?
Well, sure. It's always going to be a better story. I think that you know, I guess you've got, really the compelling factor about Toronto would be Ricky Ray.
Right, yeah.
I think that we all know that the Toronto Argonauts really don't have a big fan base. I think the city of Toronto takes the football fans there, take the Toronto Argonauts for granted. I think that if we're trying to reward a fan base with a trip to the Grey Cup, it's pretty clear where the loyalty lies in the Rider Nation. I think a Rider appearance at the Grey Cup would be a lot more fun for a lot more people and sell a lot more beer than would the Argos showing up there. I think that's probably fair to say. And I'll tell you, coming out of the West, the Eskimos and Riders would be well welcomed in Northern Alberta, and Calgary and the Riders would be something the folks in Calgary would absolutely love to see. So, you know, if I'm a football fan, not a reporter, cheering Riders all the way Sunday morning.
I agree. Mark Spector from Sportsnet, our guest down the South Street Burger guest hotline. Back to hockey we go. Following you on social media, following you on Twitter, prior to the Oilers' most recent road trip, you tweeted out that this was going to be a big road trip, and if it wasn't good, that Peter Chiarelli may act, and he did. I want to give you an opportunity to do a victory lap because, hey, you said it, and they go out and they get a former Flame in Mike Camilleri yesterday. So I guess you're not surprised they made a deal, but tell me your thoughts on the deal that they made.
Well, it's kind of a, you know, two teams that had two players that they, I think, just couldn't find a lot of use for. Jussi Jokinen was brought to Edmonton to be a depth guy, and I just think he doesn't have the foot speed to get there in the forecheck and just couldn't make the lineup. There was other bottom six players that were playing ahead of him. And down in L.A., I think, you know, you guys know Camo real well in Calgary. I think, Rob, I think I don't have this from Mike Camilleri's mouth, but you and I watched enough older snipers, and you know, guys come to mind like Teemu Selänne or even Jerome Iginla. Like, I think Camilleri signs in L.A. and they probably make him some promises, and he has a decent start to the season, and then I think he finds himself playing with third and fourth line guys, and I'll bet you he thinks, or even maybe he says to the coach, I can't be Mike Camilleri playing with third and fourth line players, right? You can't give me a center that can't set me up, or I can't be the guy you're paying me to be. And I think we saw that with Iginla to an extent, right? Iggy needed his time in the power play to be Iggy. I know Teemu Selänne openly spoke about how he just can't be himself if he's playing on the fourth line. And so Camilleri will come to Edmonton, and he will play some third line minutes, but he'll get some power play time. And listen, he's 35, man. He's got to be near the end of it, but I think the Oilers see an opportunity for a guy that might be able to one time a puck on the power play unit once in a while.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, twice here in Calgary, being around him, I have nothing but positive things to say. He doesn't suffer fools, but he was always, you know, a very popular guy in the dressing room. So I think it's a very safe add. Is it enough? Is it a start? Is it, you know, testing the waters? How do you see it? Or was this just a, you know, an acquisition that was there to be made?
Yeah, I think, frankly, it's an acquisition that was there to be made. They needed offense. This is somehow the Oilers became the lowest scoring team in the National Hockey League. I'm not really sure how. I'm not saying they're they're not the 27 Yankees here, Rob, but I don't think they're the lowest scoring team in the league. So I think to me they traded out a guy out of their press box for a guy that might score you 15 goals if you put him in the right spot. So. To me, the Oilers, it's not about acquiring a bunch of guys. what the Oilers' issues are. Certainly up until last night when they scored eight, a bunch of the players that they have and that they want to keep aren't playing very well. And if Oscar Klefbom plays the way he's been playing up before last night's game, and if their bottom six is lacks production the way it has up until last night's game, you can only trade so much. Those are your players. They better start playing better or you're not going to win games.
There's so many different directions I want to go, but you brought up last night's game. That's what we thought at the beginning of the year both of those teams were. That was the thing for me, right? That was supposed to be the Oilers versus an expansion team. That's maybe the first time we've actually seen what we thought we were going to see this year.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Vegas looked, the fourth string goalie finally looked a bit like a fourth string goalie.
Yeah.
The team just was overwhelmed. I mean, they had, I think, 12 shots in the first 40 minutes. So you can, it wasn't, in fact, even though with Edmonton scored eight, it was not a goal. I'm not blaming the goalie on this one. Edmonton just beat the heck out of Vegas. They were by far the better team. But,
yeah.
The Oilers, listen, we've watched this. The Oilers come into the game shooting 6.3%, Rob.
Mm-hmm.
The hockey teams don't shoot 6.3% forever, particularly, again, like, I'm not here to tell you the Oilers are going to win a Stanley Cup right next week, but they're not that bad a team. They should shoot better than 6.3%. So you knew that was going to change to a certain extent. Oscar Klefbom, he's not a number one defenseman in this league, but he's the number one defenseman in Edmonton.
Mm-hmm.
And he just wasn't going to keep playing that bad for the entire season. It's got to turn around for this guy. If it doesn't, they're in huge trouble. Well, last night he finally looked like the guy that, that helped them get within the game of the third round last year. So I think things are sort of normalizing up here. It looks like it is a little bit. Talbot's playing well. They're playing really well defensively. They're not giving up much. And they're opening up for their big guys to score some goals. Nugent Hopkins has a couple. And, I mean, again, you're saying it. That's kind of the formula we thought we'd see.
Yeah.
It's just taken about 18 games to see it for some reason.
And is that – I mean, everybody wants the magic pill or the one-word answer. I just wonder about – confidence and expectation, Mark, that they had such a great preseason and everybody loves them and everybody expected a lot out of them. Was that difficult for them to handle? Was it, did they get ahead of themselves? Was it that simple? Is this between the years for this club?
Well, you wonder. You think, you certainly think that they forgot what it was that set the table for all that success last spring. They forgot how hard they played and how tough they played.
Mm.
And, for me, if I could pinpoint one thing is Edmonton has turned into a big team here, right? They're a big, strong team. They don't get – the old Oilers, Calgary fans can have seen this for years. They walk into old Rexall and push the Oilers around and walk out with the 2 points for fun. Well, last year's Oilers were big and tough and strong and hard to play against. And you might beat them, but you're left with an ice bag. And they didn't play that way at all until about the last six or seven games.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, they rolled right over top Las Vegas. They pushed Vegas around. They won all the battles. They knocked them on the keister all night long. And I'm not saying that's the only way to win hockey games, Rob. And I'm not going back to 1970 and saying you got to fight all the time. That's not what I'm saying. But I am saying that if your attribute is you're bigger and stronger than most of your opponents, if you don't play that card every night.
Yeah.
That's a huge advantage you're leaving in the dressing room. And the Oilers played it all year last year and had 103 points. They just started playing it a few games ago, and lo and behold, starting to win some hockey games again.
He's Mark Spector from Sportsnet, joining us down the South Street Burger Guest Hotline. I want to ask you about a couple of individuals. As you are very aware, we've been dealing with the Sam Bennett questions down here. Young player, high draft pick, why isn't he like everybody else? When does he arrive? And Edmonton's got their own version of that in Puljujärvi. How has he looked since his recall in comparison to, the previous views?
Yeah, really good, actually. It's only a three-game window. But I watched him live last night. First two games are on the road. He looks a lot better than what I had seen live the last time, Rob. And it's a little different. I mean, the kid's 19, for one. Right.
So he's, sure.
He's still 19. He's from Finland. He's trying to figure out the big ice. His English is finally starting to be semi sort of passable. So he has a lot of hurdles that probably Sam Bennett didn't have to face. And I would, Nick. I watched enough of these young guys to say I'm not giving up on a Sam Bennett, and I'm not. You know, they're not all Matt Tkachuk that just walk in the door and start kicking everybody's behind. That's great when you get that guy, but he's a pretty rare card. I'm not going to give up on Puljujärvi because he had to go back to the minors again this year for a few games or whatever. I mean, he's 19, and I'll tell you this. There's a lot of hockey player there. He's 6'4". He skates really well. He's got a cannon for a shot. And once he figures out how to put all that in the package, and I'm starting to see it, there's a pretty good-looking player there for me anyway.
You know, it's crazy, isn't it, Mark, that, you know, for years these two organizations really struggled to draft. And even the fans, just give us something. Just give us a young player. And then you start turning a couple out in their first year at 18, you know, Monahan and you know, all the first-round picks that Edmonton had. You kind of come spoiled, don't you, about the development of a young hockey player, that you really get out in front of it, and we really aren't patient enough for some of these kids.
Oh, that's so true. So true, especially a kid in the first round. Yeah. You know, we just expect that a top four. Well, Bennett was 4, too, wasn't he, number 4?
Yeah, the highest pick ever for a Flame, yeah.
Right, and Puljujärvi was number 4. And nowadays, you look at fours and you go, how come that guy's not playing when he's 18?
Right.
You know, and if he's not playing when he's 19, oh, my God, they screwed the pickup. So, yeah, we have to step back a little. Every kid is different. You know, I'm looking at Nugent Hopkins, who was a first overall and played right away. And
yep.
You know, we've all questioned what is there, how much player is there, and he can't win a face-off, and I've been at the forefront of all of that. Well, now, what is he now? I think he's 24. And, oh boy, he's starting to turn into a nice player, Rob.
Yep.
I mean, he's starting to win some face-offs. He's playing with some strength, because now he's got some strength that they never had. He's developed a really nice hard wrist shot. He protects the puck, like... And he's still a very young man, but, you know, we were looking for all that stuff 4 years ago. Well, no kidding, it wasn't there. And now it is there, and I'm starting to say, oh, I get it. I see what everyone saw in this kid when he was 18. You just got to kind of sit back and let it happen, don't you?
Well, it's Backlund, right? That's Backlund. I mean, Backlund took, you know, Backlund's coming out party was last year. Guess what? 10 years since he got drafted.
Yeah, even longer.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Look
at Jankowski, you know.
Oh yeah. Wow.
There's a long play right there.
Yeah, there's a lot of rewriting of history down here on that one. No. That one is a funny one, Mark. Like, I know how people felt down here when the Flames took him in 2012 and, you know, right out of high school in Quebec. And people, you could have had him and you could have had him. And now, boy, there's a lot of people that seem to remember that they were the only ones standing up for him when the Flames made that pick. Yeah, patience is – and since we're talking about young guys, Leon Draisaitl got the big contract. I know Eichel's kind of been under the radar or under the microscope out in Buffalo about his big contract. How's Draisaitl played this year so far?
Oh, really very, very well. He got a concussion issue at one point. But, no, he's a – you know, the Oilers years ago signed those three guys to $6 million deals, Hall and Eberle and Nugent Hopkins. Mm. And, you know, before this season started, I'd have told you there's only one of those guys that's worth $6 million, and that would be Hall. Maybe Nugent Hopkins becomes a player like that, of that value, we'll see.
Sure.
But Draisaitl he's a step above all those guys. He's a better player. He's a stud. And sorry, folks in Calgary, you're going to get sick of this guy for the next 8 or 9 years. There's no holes there, man.
Yeah.
He's a strong and big and protects a puck and can shoot it and can pass it, and he'll be a face-off man. And, you know, I hate to break the news, but you'll get sick of 29 down there, I think.
So what are you watching, Mark? Are you watching a team that's finally getting its feet underneath them? I mean, to look and see them, you know, all those years that they, you know, struggled and weren't very good, this was the year they were supposed to be. Yeah, I mean, are they going to get themselves back off the mat here?
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, watching them play over the last couple of weeks, you know, they went in the road trip. They got 5 out of 8 points and scored 2 goals a night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they've really sort of righted their ship, and the whole time they're doing it by scoring 2 goals a night. You know, if you can start to score 3 and 4, I think there will be lots of points for this club. You know, they're fine. I think they'll be fine. And, you know, I want to say this too, Rob, a little adversity is good for you. I think maybe you kind of forget sometimes that it's hard. And I'll tell you one thing this team learned over the first month and a half of the season is, oh, yeah, that's right. We got to work harder. No one's looking at the glorious Oilers and just parting the seas for us here. It doesn't work that way.
Well, we've got some Battle of Alberta's coming up, starting at McMahon on Sunday, and then in a couple of weeks, I believe the Oilers pay the Flames a visit. It's always good to catch up with you, Speck. Thanks for doing this.
All right, Robbie, I'm coming down for that game Sunday. Maybe we'll see it at McMahon.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks, pal.
All right, take care.